Translation: Therefore, O King, you should look to the Supreme Lord only, who is one without a second, and who manifests himself by different energies and is both within and without. Purport: The Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, is one without a second, but he manifests himself by different energies because he is by nature blissful. The living beings are also manifestations of his marginal energy, qualitatively one with the Lord, and there are innumerable living beings both within and without the external and internal energies of the Lord. Since the spiritual world is a manifestation of the Lord's internal energy, the living beings within that internal potency are qualitatively one with the Lord without contamination from the external potency. Although qualitatively one with the Lord, the living being, due to contamination of the material world, is pervertedly manifested, and therefore he experiences so-called happiness and distress in the material world. Such experiences are all ephemeral and do not affect the spiritual soul. The perception of such ephemeral happiness and distress is due only to the forgetfulness of his qualities, which are equal to the Lord's. There is, however, a regular current from the Lord himself, from within and without, by which to rectify the fallen condition of the living being. From within he corrects the desiring living beings as localized Paramatma, and from without he corrects by his manifestations the spiritual master and the revealed scriptures. One should look unto the Lord. One should not be disturbed by so-called manifestations of happiness and distress, but he should try to cooperate with the Lord in his outward activities for correcting the fallen souls. By his order only, one should become a spiritual master and cooperate with the Lord. One should not become a spiritual master for one's personal benefit, for some material gain, or as an avenue of business or occupation for earning livelihood. Bona fide spiritual masters who look unto the Supreme Lord to cooperate with him are actually qualitatively one with the Lord, and the forgetful ones are perverted reflections only. Yudhishthira Maharaj is advised by Narada, therefore, not to be disturbed by the affairs of so-called happiness and distress, but to look unto only the Lord to execute the mission for which the Lord has descended. That was his prime duty. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschate Deshitarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So first of all, I would like to seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas assembled here today, because the Vaishnavas are all like desire trees who can fulfill the desires of everyone. Young, old, small, big, senior devotee, junior devotee, everybody, we're all amazing Vaishnavas. Especially would like to seek the blessings of the senior Vaishnavas, Prayojana Prabhu at the back, who's finally coming to the morning program because he's allowed to. Gaura Krishna Prabhu, Sutapa Prabhu, and everybody else. Hare Krishna. So, Bhagavatam, amazing book, spoken about by so many people who are Vaishnavas and non-Vaishnavas, who follow the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, and those who don't, everybody accepts the Bhagavatam. In a book called Niti Shastra, which was written by Chanakya Pandit about 2,000 years ago, 2,200 years ago, he writes, every morning, he said, we should all assemble to discuss the activities of gambling. He goes, every afternoon we should assemble to talk about the activities of women. And he goes, every evening we should discuss the activities of stealing. So he's recommending, talk about gambling, women, and stealing. But then he explains that when he's talking about gambling, he's talking about one should read the Mahabharata and discuss the wonderful activities of Yudhishthira Maharaj and all the Pandavas and their relationship with Krishna and all those stories. When he's talking about activities of women, he's talking about how one should discuss the Ramayana and discuss the activities of Sita Devi and her wonderful qualities. And when he's talking about stealing in the evening, he's talking about how Krishna stole butter, and read the Bhagavatam and discuss Krishna's wonderful activities. So if you can just follow these three things, discuss gambling, women and stealing, then our life will be perfect morning, afternoon, evening. Chanakya Pandit was an interesting guy. He used to be a minister in the court of a king. I can't remember his name, but apparently it didn't work out well, their relationship. So the king insulted him, Chanakya Pandit left, and then he decided to take revenge against this king. So he was on his way, he left the kingdom, and he was walking, and he had to walk through a field. And in the field there was some kusha grass. And kusha grass by nature is very strong. So if you see all these mats that I use, the kusha mats, so it's not like ordinary grass, it's like really thick grass. So he was walking on the kusha grass, and it pricked his feet and it really hurt, and he got really angry at the kusha grass, and then he started shouting at the kusha grass and made a big scene, and everybody was watching him shouting at this kusha grass. And then he went away, and then there was a cow in one of the fields grazing. So he went and he milked the cow. And then he got the milk, and because milk kills kusha grass, he came and poured the milk on the kusha grass to kill it because it pricked his feet. So when the people saw this, they went to the neighbor, the king Chandragupta Maurya, and they said, you should have him as your minister because he's a brahmana, he's intelligent, but he's a brahmana with a vengeance. So he goes, if you want to, he'll give you good advice to rule. So Chandragupta Maurya employed Chanakya Pandit as a minister, and under him, under his guidance, Chandragupta Maurya went and defeated the other king and won his kingdom back. So then Chanakya Pandit was happy. But he wrote a lot of books that are very interesting. And one of them is the Niti Shastra. And Prabhupada actually wanted this book to be translated by a devotee. There's so many other translations. So some devotees have attempted to translate. Prabhupada said he wasn't a Vaishnava. He was a Brahmana. But he said some good things that we can use. But we don't follow his things like Shastra. But he said some good things. So this is one of the good things that he said. So I just wanted to give some background on where that comes from. So, I'm just going to repeat the same things over and over again, like I've been doing in the past few classes. But repetition is actually good. Once Prahladananda Maharaj was explaining how before Prabhupada translated the Bhagavad Gita and all these other books, but the centers had already started, but there was no Bhagavad Gita. So he said there was a printout, there was just one page like this, which was printout of one verse, which was the Dehinosmin Yatha Dehe. And it wasn't even Prabhupada's, it was from some Mayavadi book or something. But it was just the printout and the translation. And then everybody used to give class when he joined on the same verse, because all they had was that one sheet of paper. So every day it was like same verse, translation, and then the speaker would go on for like 1 hour. You know, like, and in those days, the speakers were heavy as well, not like wishy-washy speakers like me. They were like really strong. And then he goes, every day everybody would come and read from the same sheet of paper and say the same things. You're not the body, you're the soul, you're not the body. And then he was like, well, guys, is there anything more than this? You know, like, it's the same thing over and over again. You're not the body, you're the soul. And he goes, I heard it for 3 months and I was thinking like, is there anything else? And then he goes, after 3 months, it suddenly clicked. He goes, wow, I'm not the body, I'm the soul. So sometimes it takes us to hear the same things over and over again. And that's why if you listen to Prabhupada's lectures, most of his lectures in public are really basic. He talks about the same things. Like he always talks about, you know, the soul, devotion to Krishna, bhakti yoga being the strongest, and the best process. He talks about impersonalism and how one should stay. It's pretty much the same things in all his classes. And then you might, you know, if a scholar listens to Prabhupada giving class, he might think, well, is that all he knows? Like, but then you go read Prabhupada's books and purports to understand. But there was a reason Prabhupada said the same things. Because it takes us almost a whole lifetime just to understand the one point that we're not the body, we're the soul. It takes like years and decades sometimes to understand that one point. Then we can move ahead. So here Prabhupada's talking about similar things, very basic philosophy, but very, very deep when you try and understand it. One lecture I was listening to just the other day on when I was doing morning service, and there was a lecture of Prabhupada being played, and Prabhupada says, everyone in this world is trying to do two things. Do you know what those two things are? He says, everybody is trying to do these two things. And he talks about it in many of his classes and many books as well. Everybody's trying to do two things. What are those two things? Yeah, everybody is trying to maximize the amount of happiness they can get, and they're trying to minimize the amount of misery they have to suffer. These are the two things everybody is doing, whether they're in, doesn't matter where they are, whether they're spiritual, not spiritual, religious, doesn't matter. These are the two things. And even in this purport, as we read, Prabhupada is explaining how there are living entities everywhere who are trying to be happy. And he explains the living entity in the internal energy of the Lord and living entities in the external energy of the Lord. It means living entities who are either in the spiritual world or situated in transcendental Krishna consciousness, or living entities who are situated in the material world under the influence of the external energy. They're all trying to be happy. So let's first talk about the living entities in the material world a little bit, and then we'll talk about the other elevated guys. So now listen to this. This is something very interesting I heard. I was like, wow, this is next level. So one morning walk conversation, one devotee asks Prabhupada, so are there souls everywhere in this world, in this universe? Prabhupada says, yes, there's souls everywhere. And then he goes, Prabhupada, what about like things like, you know, stones and stuff? Do they have a soul? And Prabhupada says, well, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that, you know, the super soul is present everywhere, inside each atom. And then the devotee goes, he thought Prabhupada didn't understand the question. So he goes, Prabhupada, no, we're not talking about the super soul. He goes, we're talking about the soul, the individual soul. Is he present everywhere, in every atom? And Prabhupada said, he goes, well, wherever there is super soul, there must be soul. He goes, otherwise, why is the super soul there? It's not like Krishna's got, you know, spare incarnations to hang around, so he just, you know, puts them here, there, and everywhere. He goes, the purpose of the super soul, if you think about it, the purpose of the super soul is to guide the soul, which is what Prabhupada is talking about here. Right? Prabhupada is saying everyone should look unto the Supreme Lord. So this is explained in the Upanishads, how it says that there are two birds in a tree, and one bird is very busy, like enjoying the fruits of the tree, which is the soul, and the other bird, which is a super soul, is watching him. But the soul bird is not looking at the Supreme Lord. He's just carrying on his own business. He's only interested in the fruits, and the sweet fruits, bitter fruits, whatever. So Prabhupada saying one should look unto the Supreme Lord means one should see how the Supreme Lord is present everywhere and is trying to help him. So super souls everywhere, which means the soul is also everywhere, and there are innumerable, countless living entities all over the universe. And all these people are all trying to enjoy. Be happy and reduce the distress. That's what everyone's trying to do. And Prabhupada explains that the ones in the material world are influenced by Krishna's external energy. And because of their contamination, because they're influenced by the external energy composed of the three modes of material nature, because of that, they are experiencing happiness and distress. Okay? Now, this is very interesting. Because people are influenced and contaminated by the three modes, that's the only reason you experience happiness and distress. Not just distress. Even happiness is due to the contamination of material energy. Now, so then the question is, those souls who are pure, okay, who are not influenced by these modes, what do they experience? They don't experience happiness or distress. What do they experience? Bliss. What kind of bliss? Happiness again. Yes, Antaranga Prabhu. What does Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur say? Yeah, transcendental bliss, yeah. So the words in Sanskrit are, happiness is sukha, and suffering is dukkha. Okay, sukha, dukkha. But bliss, transcendental bliss, the happiness in the spiritual world is called ananda. Okay, so the soul is Satchit Ananda. He's not Satchit Sukha. If he was, then that's what the soul would be. But it's explained the soul is Sachid Ananda. And whenever the Vedas talk about transcendental happiness, the word sukha is never used. It's always ananda. It's a different kind of happiness, which comes from the internal potency of the Lord. Whereas the happiness we experience in this world is coming because of the external potency of the Lord. Except the happiness we sometimes experience in spiritual transcendental activity, it's because somehow we're making a connection with the internal energy of the Lord. And so we experience some ananda there. But ultimately, if you free yourself from all external things, then you'll experience paramananda, which is a supreme happiness. Okay? Like that. Who am I talking about? Let's have a look. Okay. Now, one morning walk conversation. I used to listen to a lot of morning walk conversations before. So in one of them, one devotee Prabhupada asked the devotees, as he used to often test them, he said, so what is the goal of life? And then obviously everybody had been hearing from Prabhupada, goal of life is to serve Krishna, goal of life is to go back to the spiritual world. So those are the answers he gets, and Prabhupada keeps saying, no, 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 no. And then he says, Prabhupada says, no, the goal of life is to be happy. And then everybody is surprised. And then one of them goes, but Prabhupada, isn't that selfish to think of one's own happiness? And Prabhupada said, yes, but it's the ultimate selfishness. And he goes, the soul is Sachidananda, so to be happy is the nature of the soul. If you're trying to be in line with your nature, it's not wrong, he said. But the problem is, people don't know how to be happy. He goes, that's a real problem. And he explains how one can be happy only by practicing Krishna consciousness. Anything else you do will only give you what Prabhupada talks about in the purport as ephemeral happiness, like temporary, comes and goes, but it'll never give you real happiness. Now, another point that Prabhupada explains in the purport is how Krishna is trying to help the devotee from within and without, from inside and outside. Okay? And Krishna is trying to help everybody. Okay, everybody. Doesn't matter who you are, whether you're practicing Krishna consciousness, whether you're not, whether you're devotee, non-devotee, doesn't matter. Krishna is trying to help everybody, even the demons. He's trying to help them come to the spiritual platform. And many times when you're reading the Bhagavatam, you come across the statement which says the Supreme Lord is equal to everybody. Have you heard that? It's everywhere. It's in the Bhagavad Gita, it's in the Bhagavatam, it's everywhere. And I always found it difficult to understand how the Supreme Lord is equal to everybody, because whenever you read stories in the Bhagavatam, he's always supporting the demigods, okay? Churning of the milk ocean, he takes the nectar and he gives it to the demigods. The demons don't get jack, you know? And then, you know, anytime it is, he always sides with the demigods and kills the demons. And I never understood that. How is he equal to everybody when he's always supporting the demigods? So this is very nicely explained in the 8th canto by Bali Maharaj. Anyone have an answer? What do you think he says? And how is the Supreme Lord equal to the demons as well? The Supreme Lord doesn't distinguish. Yes, Sankirtan Priya Prabhu.
Is it because by vanquishing them, he's actually liberating them?
Killing them and liberating them. Yeah, that could be one answer. Yes, Srinivas Prabhu. Srinivas Prabhu has definitely got the answer. Any other answers? Oh, God. He reciprocates with how we approach him. That's why he's equal. Now, Krishna is trying to help everybody, like I mentioned, come to the spiritual platform, even the demons. And just like, if you look at who are the demigods and the demons? They're all sons of Kashyapa Muni, isn't it? So all the sons from Diti are all Daityas, demons, and all the sons of Aditi are all demigods, or Adityas, like that. So they're all, but the father is the same, okay? And it is explained just how a father would, if he has to train his children. Some of his children who are very nice, who are very much in the mode of goodness, they would need encouragement. So then he would encourage them in a certain way. Whereas some people who are more influenced by passion and ignorance, they need chastisement, but ultimately the chastisement is there because the father is trying to train them to be good. That's the whole point. If he did the same thing he did with the good kids to the bad kids, they would just get even worse. So everybody, Krishna gives the medicine to people based on what their disease is. So for the demigods, the disease is goodness. They're always getting, you know, they're always nice, they're situated in mode of goodness. Now and then they get, you know, a little bit puffed up because of opulence and stuff. So Krishna treats them in a certain way. And the demons, they're influenced by passion and ignorance. And so Krishna treats them in a certain way because he needs to teach them slightly differently. So Bali Maharaj explains that because demons like us always aspire for a position of false prestige by chastising us, you give us the eyes by which we can see the right path. And Bali Maharaj even explains that actually you are more merciful to us because you are chastising us, whereas the demons, you're not so demigods, you're not so merciful because you give them so much and they actually get puffed up. But because of chastisement, we are actually getting better. So bring Chanakya Pandit in again. Chanakya Pandit talks about this, that he says, by chastising a son, he goes, by chastising your children, they become smart and intelligent, but pampering them, you actually spoil them. So he goes, it's always better to chastise a kid. And a famous verse that he explains is that when a child is up to 5 years old, you should pamper him nicely, give him whatever he wants. Then from 10 to 15, he said you should beat him with a stick. Now, I don't know if he literally means it or not, but his point is he should be chastised. And then from the age of 15 onwards, he should be treated like a friend. Prabhupada also explains the story of how once there was this child who was convicted of something. There was this person who was convicted of something. And then they said, the judge asked him, do you have any final wishes? And he said, yes, I want to speak to my mother, and I want to, but it's secret, I want to whisper it into her ear. And he goes, sure. So they bring his mother, and he goes there, and Prabhupada said, he just bit her ear off. And then he said, when I was young, if you had chastised me, then I wouldn't have done this when I was older. So you actually spoiled me by not chastising me. So the point is, chastisement is always good. And because Krishna is equal to all, he's trying to do the best for the demons because they're in certain modes. He's trying to chastise them. So even in our life, everybody goes through different situations in life, happiness and distress, because they're influenced by the modes of material nature. And Krishna, within the heart, is always trying to guide people in different ways, according to what they need, so they can finally come to the spiritual platform. For some people, it's encouragement. For some people, it's chastisement. But neither is bad. It's the father trying to correct you and bring him to his service. Now, how does Krishna, from within and without, help somebody? Now, I'm just discussing this because this is also in the purport. And do you know who is the... Let me just tell you a little bit more about... Okay. Because Krishna talks about the spiritual master. Now, in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, there is something called the Uddhava Gita. And it's Krishna's instructions to Uddhava. When Krishna speaks to Arjuna on the battlefield, he's only got 45 minutes, so he has to be quick. So all his instructions are very brief and quick, to the point. Okay, da-da-da-da-da, okay, get on with your fighting. But later on, Krishna has more time. So when he speaks to Uddhava, he explains the same instructions but in more detail. And that is called the Uddhava Gita. It's in the 11th canto. So here Krishna explains about the spiritual master and how every living entity is guided by the spiritual master. And he explains that there are three stages of one having a guru. Okay? He goes, the first guru of a person is, do you know who? The first guru of a person. His mind. Who is the second guru of the person? Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Who is the second guru of a person? Nature. And the third guru of a person? The living guru. Now, interestingly enough, if you look at it a bit more deeply, what Krishna is actually saying is that the first guru is a super soul. The second guru is the super soul. And the third guru is the super soul. He's just manifesting to you in different ways. So when a person does not have any concept of spirituality or whatever, Krishna is guiding him through his mind. But it is ultimately, it's still the super soul, it's still the Paramatma who is speaking to the person through his mind. And he's telling him, he's giving him so many different instructions, you should do this, you should do this. All of you may have had this experience before you came to Krishna consciousness, that something, you know, like drew you to Krishna or towards the spiritual path. Your mind was almost like a guru. It was teaching you, okay, this is too much suffering. This is not right. I should look into more spirituality. I should try this. I should try this. And then you came to a temple or whatever. You know, the mind was actually acting like your guru. But it's not actually the mind, because the mind is contaminated. But it's actually the super soul who is speaking to you through the mind, because that's what you listen to. That's what you've been listening to all your life, your mind. So the super soul tries to speak to you through your mind like that. Sometimes we don't listen, okay? So then you go to the next stage, okay? Even if you listen, there's always a next stage. But there is a story in that 11th canto about Maharaj Yadu, and when he's going through, you know, on his daily routine, he meets an avadhut brahmana, and he says, and he looks like an avadhut, he's very transcendental, he doesn't, you know, he's quite fat as well, and, you know, he's just lying around, he's not doing anything. But he looks very effulgent. He goes, well, how is it that, you know, you're so fat, you don't seem like you're eating enough, you're just lying around, you don't seem to do any work, but still you self-realize. And who's your guru? And he goes, I have 24 gurus. So he says, well, who are these 24 gurus? So he goes through a whole list. He tells him, well, the bee is my guru, the arrow maker is my guru, the prostitute is my guru. And he talks about different things he learned from different people. Now, if you look at it, they're not actually gurus. I mean, they are gurus in one sense. There's two levels of gurus, which I'll also explain. But the real guru is a super soul still. Because you're not listening to your mind, you need it to come from somebody else. And that's why the super soul starts speaking to you through all these different people. And then you suddenly learn. You're like, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, that makes sense. Sometimes you're looking for an answer in your mind, and then somebody speaks to you and tells you exactly what you want to hear. So that is that person your guru? Yes, to some extent. But ultimately, it's the super soul speaking to you. And now, and then when you become more elevated in your spiritual life, then you come to your third guru. When you accept, when you're ready and you accept one person as your guru, then Krishna says, all right, you accepted him as a guru, so I'll speak to you through him. So then you will listen to him. So it's still the super soul. It's always a super soul. And it's always Krishna who is trying to guide you in many, many different ways. But does this mean that we, you know, lower the position of the actual person? So this is also explained how there's two types of gurus. There's the Vyasti Guru and the Samasti Guru. And then Krishna is always the one guru behind all the other gurus. But the other guru who you learn from is also respected just as much. So everybody has two gurus in three stages. I thought I'll just speak something more complicated because, you know, if you speak something complicated, then people think, wow, he's intelligent, you know. if you speak something simple, it's like, well, he doesn't know anything. So it's like that. So different gurus acting through us in different ways at different times. Okay? So that's what I wanted to speak about. Let's see what else we got on my notes. Another thing Prabhupada talks about is that Krishna is trying to do this, and so we should all help Krishna's mission in trying to do this. This is also something Prabhupada speaks about in the purport. Krishna is trying to save all the fallen conditioned souls, so we should assist Krishna in his service. So first help yourself, let Krishna help you, and then you help Krishna help everybody else. So Krishna, Prabhupada is talking about preaching and how one should help Krishna in his mission. So that's very, very important. Now, all services that we do are amazing, but at the same time, helping Krishna help others is the ultimate service, because you're actually helping Krishna in his mission of saving conditioned souls. So if you try to help Krishna in this way by giving Krishna consciousness to others, then you get extra mercy. There's always mercy, but preaching has extra mercy. And then there's also extra mercy because Lord Chaitanya said this is what we should do. And there's also extra mercy because Prabhupada said this is what we should do. So it's all the mercy coming from Krishna plus the mercy coming from the acharyas because of their blessings plus the mercy coming from Prabhupada, our acharya. So with all these extra mercy, we can make progress faster. So even though you will make progress through other services, but everybody should try to do a little bit of preaching at least, just to get the extra mercy and help Krishna in his mission. And this preaching can be done in so many ways. And preaching doesn't mean that you all have to go out and distribute books, or you all have to like give amazing classes or whatever. That's definitely there if you can do that. But preaching just means whoever you meet, tell him about Krishna. This was Lord Chaitanya's thing. So he said, whoever you meet, just talk about Krishna. So even if you, in your whole life of whatever, 70, 80, 100, 150 years, however long you live, in all these years, even if you make just 3 devotees, then you triple the size of the movement, isn't it? And if everybody makes 3 devotees in their whole lifetime, then you triple the size of the movement. It's a good idea, good strategy. So this is a Hare Krishna movement. So movement should move. If a movement doesn't move, then it's an oxymoron. And then we're all morons. So Hare Krishna. I did a lot of waffle today. That's all right. Any questions?